This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Each of these media creates a new environment. It creates a new situation for human association and human perception. Any medium at all creates a new pattern, a new atmosphere, a new environment of human perception, which works upon the whole man. It works upon the whole society. That is the effect of a medium. It has that total pervasive effect. That is the message, that social change that is brought about. The content of the medium is never the message, because the content is all to the old medium.
From the vast wilds of the Great White North for the week of July the 24th, 2017, it's TVA, a Canadian perspective on television. From north and south of the 49th parallel, I'm Anthony Marco.
And I'm Greg David.
We would like you to put your television on mute for episode 232 of TVA, the podcast.
Yes, put it down.
You know what that is? That's a palindromic wonder there.
Oh, it is. Yeah, those sneak up on me.
Yeah, exactly. The palindromic episodes. Which means we're going to do all of the stories today, and then we're going to do them again in reverse.
Okay, great.
It should be double length episode.
It should. People will be getting their money's worth. If you're a Patreon patron, you'll be getting your money's worth this week.
Exactly. So if you missed us over the last little bit, well, it's summer. What can we say? I mean, there's not as much going on in the summer. We do have a few things to talk about. A lot of announcements. But not necessarily major announcements like dates and stuff like that. The calendar is not too chock full, but you know, we thought we'd at least come to you and give you the updates that you need to know, because podcasts do keep going throughout the summer, Greg.
They do, and yeah, there isn't a lot of breaking news. A little bit more bookkeeping, some noteworthy things you can add with some bullet points on a fancy piece of paper or in your notes app. Just some things to keep in the back of your mind.
Yes. Just keep them there for about 3 months or so.
Yeah, exactly.
Just keep them there, hold them there, you know.
Let them nurture.
Nurture them, nuzzle them once in a while.
Mm.
Yeah, there you go. Before we get into our calendar, we do have a little segment that we like to call the Beverage Update. And Greg, again, it's midday, so I can't expect that we are fully imbibing at this point. But if we were to imbibe later, or if you are imbibing in something softer right now, what might that be?
Well, first of all, never assume that I'm not imbibing.
Indeed.
Although this week you would be safe. This week I'm just drinking tap water. It's not bespoke or anything like that.
Wow.
But I do want to talk about, I don't actually have this here in the house, but I'm planning on getting it, and it is Pupper's Beer, which is the beer of Letterkenny.
Ooh.
So, this is a press release from Stack Brewing, and it announced Pupper's Beer is inspired by the favorite beer of Wayne, Daryl, and the rest of the folks on Letterkenny, which, of course, you can watch on Crave TV. And the description is that Pupper's is a 4% premium lager. It's everything that you want in a beer. It's a golden lager that has
It's everything you want except 5%.
Except 5%, yeah, exactly. This golden lager has a satisfying taste that will get along with anyone. It's a faithful friend that will always be by your side. Pure, loyal, golden. And just to drive that home, the logo for Pupper's is a golden lab. That's the whole loyalty in the golden thing. So it's available in 473 milliliter cans at select LCBO stores. And if you're at Stack, which is Stack Brewing up in Sudbury, you can pick them up there. I did check there are limited quantities, across Ontario, and none immediately close to me. But if you go to the LCBO page, you can search there. And hey, if you order enough of them, they have enough of them in stock, they'll deliver them to your house, which is handy.
Hey, as much as I complain about how the bourbon market over the past decade or so has just gone insane with, small bottlings and small batch and single barrel and blah, 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 and infused bourbon, you know, all that kind of stuff. The beer market is infinitely worse.
It really is. You go to the LCBO like I do, and you're besieged by all of these different craft beers and beers from around the world. It can be really tough. I mean, you basically need to set aside some time. It's not like the old days at brewer retail where you just pointed at one of the 10 bottles on the wall and they rolled them out to you. Like, it's just so much out there.
I'm wondering, like, when the day will come that, like, remember when beer used to go bad and it had that skunky taste?
Yeah.
To it?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm wondering when that will become hip.
The skunky beer taste?
Yeah. 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 Oh yeah. I'm sure it will at some point.
Someone should just come up with that. Just call it exactly. Skunky beer. It's already
gone. Dead skunk.
Yeah. It's already gone over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing about, you know, Letterkenny is just the latest ones to brand their alcohol, because the Trailer Park Boys have been doing it for years. And I think they just came out with a beer earlier this year, because they had the rum or the whiskey. I'm sorry, I should have come more prepared, but I know that they have at least two alcoholic beverages with the Trailer Park right. Boys logo attached to it. So,
well, they also have a new game app that keeps appearing whenever I'm playing my games on my phone lately. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What do you have to? No, you haven't even tried it, have you?
No, I haven't.
Okay,
I have no idea.
What have you got for bourbon this week?
So my bourbon this week is one from the Willett Distilling Company, needless to say, down in Kentucky.
Willett
and
tastes good.
It's called Rowan's Creek.
Okay.
And I'll give you the Sam Elliott read of the week.
Please.
Indeed. On the palate, you'll find a velvety bourbon which has caramel sweetness you'd expect after 12 years in the barrel. There's also a touch of pepper in there and oak. The finish is long and starts sharp before mellowing and extending to a nice dry, spicy wooden finish with a bit of lemon which stays with you between sips. Add ice and notice hints of molasses and chocolate on the palate with a quieter finish and less spice all around.
Oh, see, now that's interesting. Lemon. I can't remember the last time there was a descriptor of lemon for a bourbon.
Bit of lemon. Bit of lemon.
Just a bit of lemon? Okay.
And see, and that's the interesting thing, too, which I'll tell you about tasting notes, is it's not actually what's in there, because, I mean, all it is two or three grains thrown into a barrel. It's not like they actually have any of this stuff in there.
Right.
It's kind of like a President's Choice memories of what this tastes like.
Right. Yeah, right? There it's you
like,
go.
That's what it is. It's like, I sense this for some reason. I don't know why. There was a great little primer on how people taste whiskey and taste bourbon the first time, and it's like, you know, a first time bourbon drinker, I like the taste of it. Then as you go year after year after year, how more much more complex, and then after you've been drinking bourbon for 10 or 15 years, it's like, I like the taste of it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Once you get past all the pretentiousness of it,
yeah.
You're just like, I either like it or I don't.
It's like when you get your driver's license, they say after 10 years, you're an experienced driver. So after 10 years, you're an experienced bourbon drinker?
Yeah, that's it. Isn't that, it's the 5,000 hours, basically.
Yeah, okay.
Malcolm Gladwell all over again.
Good stuff.
Yeah, there you go. So that closes out the beverage update and takes us into this week's calendar.
Do-do-do-do.
Ooh. Yeah, not too much in the calendar this week.
No, not much do about nothing, really.
No, exactly. Now, I don't remember. Did we talk about on the last episode? It's past. It was last Saturday. Did we talk about the filmmakers?
No, we didn't, because CBC announced it after we had already done our recording. They only announced it middle of last week.
Yeah, so Saturday the 22nd was the debut of The Filmmakers, and is that a weekly show?
It is. It's a weekly show, it's a half-hour show, and CBC is spotlighting Canadian movies all summer long on Saturday nights, and The Filmmakers gets film, as the title would indicate, sitting down with celebrities and filmmakers to discuss great Canadian films.
Okay. So was the first episode Jules et Jim?
No, it wasn't. I think it was The Sweet Hereafter, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then this week it is the... Can you tell I'm typing it in really quickly?
Is it On the Road with Billy Simhavelichki? No?
No. It's Sarah Pauly. Let me just find the list, and then I don't sound like I'm an idiot. So,
no, that's okay. That's fine.
No, The Sweet Hereafter, the first of 11 films.
Yes.
So
basically, this is going to run up into hockey season, basically.
Exactly. So this week, it's Stories We Tell. The director is Sarah Pauly, and yeah. She's going to join. The host is Joanna Schneller to talk about that. Then we've got Last Night, which is Don McKellar. And then Incendie on August 12th, Double Happiness on the 19th. Warwitch on the 26th, It Killed My Mother on September 2nd, Water on September 9th, The Fast Runner.
I'm wondering if this is from a definitive list of what they actually consider the best films, or is this a definitive list of whoever they could get to be on the show?
I think it might be the one movies that they're licensed to broadcast.
Yes. Not to say that any of these films are bad or anything like that. I'm just saying. It sounds more like we could get these people to come and talk about their films, which is fine.
Yeah, and in some cases they've got, like in the case of Sarah Polley, they have her available, but in other cases they don't necessarily have the filmmaker available, so they do have other filmmakers coming in to talk about the movies themselves. But we talk about Canadian TV, obviously, on this podcast, but Canadian film definitely needs some help and some attention, so the filmmakers is filling that hole on CBC on Saturday nights.
When we move to this week, there's nothing.
No, sir.
Nothing on the Canadian TV calendar this week. That doesn't mean that there's not necessarily shows that are on, but no debuts, no finales, nothing like that.
So. No, The Amazing Race is in Beijing this week. The second to last episode of Saving Hope is on this week. Winona Earp and Dark Matter and Killjoys are all on Friday nights, but they're just, they're in the middle of their seasons.
Right. Starting next week, on Monday the 31st of July, we have the debut of 21 Thunder. On CBC.
Yeah, and we talked about this back when it was first announced. This is a soccer drama about an under-21 soccer team. It's kind of, behind the scenes. There's not a lot of...
It's only the CBC to do a sports reality show picking a league that nobody knows.
Yeah, I mean, that's the weird thing about it. I think maybe, I don't watch soccer, and it doesn't sound like you watch soccer either, but there is a
firm... It's not even that. There's a professional soccer league. This isn't even that.
No. I'm just saying, for the audience that they're aiming for, I mean, I'm not sure how much of an everyday viewer is going to tune in and watch this. I mean, it's kind of like soccer's version of, or CBC's version of Friday Night Lights with soccer, because there's a minimal amount of on-field play, although there is some. Most of it is behind the scenes, the drama between the players, the girlfriends, the agents, that type of thing.
Okay. I don't know in the middle of summer how this thing's gonna do. I think it's got a lot stacked up against it. It might end up being a great show. I mean, all of these shows that depend on editing more than anything else, right? So it could be brilliantly edited. It could tell a great narrative and all of that stuff. But it's up against a lot just from its premise, I think.
It is, and I also feel like it's on the wrong network. I feel like it's more of a cable channel network, maybe Family Channel, because they've already got Degrassi. It's got that feel to it. It just doesn't fit in CBC's schedule. Right. It feels a little bit like a summer blow-off to me.
Right. Now, the return also on the 31st on CTV of 19-2, which was, did we say it was its final season?
Yeah, we talked about this. We confirmed that it's on CTV, which is great news. If you want to go back and see previous seasons, you can get them on Crave TV. And I've watched the first episode, and it's just as good, as past seasons and episodes of this show. There are shocking moments. Whenever I watch an episode of 19-2, I'm pretty tense because something bad is going to happen. For every quiet moment, and there's an equally explosive moment like seconds later, and that definitely happens in the first episode.
Well, they seem to have a legacy of very intense and impactful season premieres.
For sure, yes.
So, and then following that up, looking at next week, the only real thing of note to mention. Is the fact that we have the series finale on August the 3rd of Saving Hope.
Yes.
Ghost Doctor, no more.
Yes, that's right. It seems like everybody from the cast and the creative have either moved on to CTV's The Detail, which is their cop drama, or over to CBC's Burden of Truth, which is...
Formerly Burden of Proof.
Burden of Proof, yes, which is CBC's legal drama that is currently filming in Winnipeg. So I think pretty much everybody's got a job. I don't think Michael Shanks does, though. He may be just taking some time away and maybe work on a Stargate project.
Possibly. Or if there's a show about prison, I can't think of a better name for a prison show.
Michael Shanks, okay.
I'm just saying.
That's good, I like it.
Yeah, it's not bad. Anyway, that's it. There's one more note coming up in August so far, and we might get some more stuff that dribs and drabs in, but it could be a very lean August, folks. Let's just put it that way.
Yes.
And we'll see. It's like I mentioned off the top of the show, if there's nothing to talk about in 2 weeks, we just might not be doing an episode. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Unless we do kind of a special episode, where we maybe pick like a bunch of old Canadian shows and talk about them or something like that.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I do like a special episode of TVA with, you know, talk about the friendly giant or something like
that. Sounds like you're already committing us to one now.
Yeah, maybe. It could be. All I know is Jerome the Giraffe was probably one of the hippest characters on childhood TV. He was just like grooving away while the recorder was being played and Rusty was there. And
Rusty was always freaking out about something.
Yeah, Rusty had a bad attitude, man. He was always a downer.
But
Jerome was like, Jerome was cool, man. That's all I know. And we can discuss the everlasting question of why at the end of Mr. Dress-Up nobody could say goodbye for themselves. They all had to say goodbye for each other.
Oh, yeah. And what was in that? What was really in the tickle trunk after hours?
Yeah, well, I have no idea. All I know is that Casey had a bit too much rouge on, I think.
Sure.
Yeah. So there you go. There's our calendar for the week. Let's close that off.
Let's do it. Do-do-do-do.
We have a few stories for you this week. Nothing of huge major import. Maybe the last story is of import, but not necessarily of interest. So we'll figure that out. But we do have good news for Wynonna Earp, which this season, if you remember, moved from CH over to space.
Yes, sir.
And picked up a whole new audience. They showed the first season before they showed the second season. The big announcement over this past week or so that space is renewing Wynonna Earp for season 3.
Yeah, the timing was perfect for this. Comic-Con happened this last weekend in San Diego, and there were two autograph sessions for the cast and creatives of Wynonna Earp, and they had a session on Saturday, and that was when they made the announcement that there would be a third season. 12 episodes, going to be on Sci-Fi in the U.S. and around the world, and on Space here in Canada. Created by Emily Andrus, produced by Calgary-based 724 Films. They're the same folks that do Heartland, so they've got a couple of great shows in their stable. Like that?
Ooh, wow.
Thank you.
Wow, that was pretty impressive, my friend.
Space notes that since its premiere on June the 9th, Season 2 of Wynonna Earp has seen its total audience more than double, with a 52% increase compared to Season 1. And seen a 73% increase in the key 18 to 49 demo. Now, I think that maybe that those increases, as you mentioned, Wynonna Earp first season was on CHCH and that people could watch it online after the fact. So it may be a case of, you know, that number may be a little bit inflated because people that already watched the first season didn't need to watch it again on Space. Regardless, that's a good number. And on Fridays in that time slot, when it airs at 10, Space is the most watched entertainment specialty network. So, you know, when it comes right down to it...
Entertainment Specialty Network.
Entertainment Specialty Network, as opposed to Sports Specialty Network.
Yes.
Now, that said, the ratings for genre programming overall are not huge. You can't, you know, they're not getting 1.2 million or anything like that. So
right.
What the networks and producers and companies look at are, you know, the plus 7, the plus 14, and they're also looking more and more at social media and the engagement online.
They're looking at potential streaming revenues.
Yep, exactly. So right. Once you factor all that stuff in, that's how they're making their decision. So good news for Wynonna Earp fans.
Yep, sure.
Bad news, though, for Dark Matter, because we haven't heard anything about a renewal for Dark Matter, and they were also out at Comic-Con. Right. Now, that's not necessarily an indication of anything sad on the horizon, because the producer of Dark Matter, Jay Firestone, kind of pays out of his own pocket to have the Dark Matter group go out to Comic-Con.
Right.
But still, it would have been a good time for them to make a Season 4 announcement for that show, and we still have not heard anything about a Season 4 of Killjoys. And we're mid-season on both of those programs.
Just wondering, is the term cult hit an oxymoron?
I think it almost, well, no, I think it, but it means it means something different now. You know, because it used to be that a cult hit would be something when it, you know, something came out on VHS after the fact and, you know, rentals were big. And now with the streaming out there, it seems to make some, you know, it's a totally different frame of reference now.
Like, to me, a hit means, you know, that it's achieved some kind of widespread popularity.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of seems to me like the opposite of what a cult following is.
Yeah, especially now that there's social media. I mean, you try and, you know, everyone around the world can stream something, so definitely that world has gotten a lot bigger, and, you know, for your pond of reference anyway.
Yeah. In a cult thing was something that you couldn't find, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, you'd have to, you know, go to a rep cinema to see a certain film or something like that, or, you know, so. Anyway, there you go. But season three is probably good news. As they build up that episode catalog, it's also, like I said, good for the streaming revenues down the line as well.
Yeah, and season one of Winona Earp is on Netflix Canada if you want to watch it there.
Canadian shows that are sometimes Canadian shows, but we don't know if they're Canadian shows. Yes, it's Vikings, folks. It's time for the Vikings update.
I know, and I always feel so weird talking about this. It is a Canadian show because it gets the point through a few of the actors and actresses, but mainly because of the post-production that gets done here in the Toronto area. But nonetheless, big news again coming out of San Diego at Comic-Con. It's a 2-hour season 5 premiere of the year's number one specialty entertainment program, Wednesday, November the 29th at 9 p.m. on History. And they've added to the cast. John Rhys-Meyers is going to be on board. And we also know that Adam Copeland, former WWF wrestler, will be in the cast as well.
So, is this truly going to be a 2-hour season premiere, or is there going to be two episodes in a row?
I think it's going to be two episodes in a row. They're just going to broadcast back to back.
Because see, that bothers me.
Yeah, because, and you know why they do that? They do that for repeats, right?
Yeah. Like, because it used to be a thing when you used to have like a 2-hour episode, like a made-for-TV movie, essentially.
Right.
That used to be a thing, and now it just seems like, all right, we're going to slap a couple episodes together. Now, in days where you used to have procedurals more often than not, it would really be ridiculous because they were completely two distinct episodes. With ongoing narratives now and story arcs, I guess you could argue that any two episodes in a row could technically be a 2-hour episode, but I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's a fair point. Yeah. The times, they are a-changing.
Wow. You know, I think Bob Dylan was thinking about Vikings when he wrote the song, The Times They Are A-Changin'.
Yeah.
Speaking of times a-changin', Big Brother Canada, you thought it was dead in the ashes, but apparently it's just too cheap to make in order to leave on the back burner.
I love it. I love that you said that because you know that's the reason why.
Not only is it coming back, it's coming back to Global in 2018 with 24 hours of coverage on Slice, I'm sure.
Yes, the breathless press release from Corus. That's right, Canada. Following the overwhelmingly powerful fan response to its hiatus, Global is adding smash hit original series Big Brother Canada to its 2018 schedule.
Overwhelmingly powerful fan response.
Yeah.
Fan.
Fan.
That's accurate.
Yes.
It could have been one person.
Yes. Well, I do have to say, when I posted the story about the show going on hiatus, people were very, very upset, and more than one fan weighed in. Cheap to make. There was the immediate feedback from social media, and therefore, season six will be coming.
Was it a smash hit?
I never got any ratings releases in the last few seasons. I know out of the gate it was, it says here that, it says it's a top 10 series amongst millennials 18 to 34 and 1849. So there you go. Top 10, which means it was probably number 10.
Yes.
Because if it was higher than that, there would have been a press release.
It was a top 10 series. In what category?
It says amongst...
In international shows named Big Brother?
No. This is Canada. Canada numbers.
So it was a top 10 Canadian series overall, or top 10?
Among... In the 18 to 34 and 18 to 49. So no, not 2 plus, not overall.
Okay, but not just top 10 like reality series.
No, sir.
Okay. Well, and it's always kind of been a summer focus. So, I mean, you can understand why, you know... It doesn't necessarily have to go up against a lot of the big scripted shows necessarily in the summer either. So.
Well, no. Well, the thing is that Global broadcasts it in the winter. It's a winter series that ends in May and then segues into Big Brother in the States that does the summer run. There you go.
Okay. There you go. So it is back, or will be back. Also, we have production starting on season 2 of CBC's Working Moms. This was a show that I think surprised a few people coming out of the gate last year, and I think people were expecting to do okay. And I think would it be fair for me to say that it did better than expected? even though it wasn't expected to do poorly, it still probably did a little bit better than expected. It seemed to gather a little bit of hype throughout the season.
Yeah, CBC never released any ratings numbers, so I don't know about that. Where it certainly excelled was on social media. And like I said, networks are increasingly looking to social media for feedback. And that was where, you know, Working Moms really found a voice because they got into weekly conversations. They had their showrunner, Catherine Reitman, on there. The stars were always on Twitter during the broadcast live tweeting. So I think that's where they really got a lot of the support. But yeah, season two in production. All of the cast are back. The big news was that Jan Arden has been added to the cast. She's going to play Anne's mother in at least an episode. Season two picks up as Kate faces the professional consequences of choosing her baby over her career. Because she was offered a job in Montreal and decided that she wanted to stay in Toronto. For Anne, a past relationship resurfaces, revealing a secret that she and Lionel had kept from Alice. Alice is their daughter. Frankie finds her way again without Giselle. Ooh, that means that Frankie and Giselle break up. And Ian and Jenny deal with their separation as Ian continues to work on his screenplay. Jenny was... She was having a dalliance with a guy at work, with her boss. She got her nipple pierced, so she was exploring different things, and her husband Ian didn't like it.
You got a lot of background on this show, Greg.
I watch it.
Yeah.
I watch it. And if people want to go to TVA.com, TV-EH.com, I have an interview with Danny Kind that just went up last week, where she talks about playing the character of Anne on Working Moms, and also the character of Mercedes that she has been portraying on Winona Earp this summer. So please, check that out.
Indeed, you should do that. Include it in the show notes.
Yes, I will include that in the show notes. And actually, an interesting sidebar really quickly, Anthony.
Sure.
Mostly, for what usually happens when you're creating a television show is that you write your script, you have a table read, you tweak, and then you go to camera. That's kind of simplifying things, but that's basically the way it's set up. The way that Catherine Reitman has done this is that she and her writing staff have written all of their they wrote all the episodes ahead of time. Now, there will always be tweaks throughout the season, but they did the table read for all of the episodes within a week down at the TIFF Lightbox in a theater with CBC people in attendance, with the production partners in attendance, and with Catherine's dad, Ivan Reitman, in attendance, so that they could get kind of a live feel from an audience sitting there whether the jokes were landing. And that's very different from the traditional model. And I think it's really interesting because it's giving you that feedback, and you can make those notes ahead of time and those changes rather than having to make them on the fly during production.
Sure. Interesting. We'll see if it works.
You're not really interested.
Actually, you know what? I'm interested in process like that.
Okay, good.
I am interested in process like that. I just don't know what much there is to say about it until it comes the time where you could deconstruct it.
Yes.
The after the fact, looking back at it and saying, "Oh, let's see if this worked or not." And
well, I'll do that.
It will remain to be seen. But they're shooting up until October, it looks like, and yes. Usually it's a mid-season show, right?
Winter. Yeah, mid-season. Yes, sir.
So whatever mid-season is these days, I don't even know.
Yeah, exactly.
So who knows? Last story this week. We've been talking for the past few weeks about the fact that the CRTC has become largely dysfunctional with the resignation of J.P. Blais and the interim commissionership chairperson being thrown in there. This past week, though, about a week ago, the Honorable Mélanie Joly, the Minister of Canadian Heritage, announced the appointment of Ian Scott as chairperson and Carolyn J. Simard as vice chairperson, broadcasting of the CRTC. So I like how the press release says these appointments are the result of the Government of Canada's open, transparent, and merit-based selection process for governor and council appointments.
The CRTC is a space for us all as well, I guess.
Exactly. Now, the early criticisms that I saw is that Ian Scott has a long-standing, very friendly relationship with the corporate side of broadcasting in Canada.
Yeah, he was the vice president of federal government relations for TELUS.
Yes. Which I know a lot of people are skeptical of, especially with the way that things are going in the States right now. There's a big fight going against net neutrality. And the CRTC in some ways has to take a look at that. I know there's pushes right now from journalist groups around the country trying to get taxes levied on ISPs.
Mm-hmm.
Based on how much bandwidth you use and stuff like that, in order to keep local journalism alive. I don't necessarily see the correlation between taxing ISPs and keeping local journalism alive.
No,
but I will say that Mr. Scott has a dense miasma of issues to overcome over the next little while, and yeah. I don't know that there's any hardcore proper solutions. I guess the first thing people are going to be curious about is ultimately, is the CRTC going to reverse their commercial policy during the Super Bowl?
That's probably the biggest one. Behind the scenes, of course, television writers and creators wonder, you know, how he feels about the creative process in the Canadian industry. And, they're from the tweets and the comments and the press releases that I saw from the various creative groups in this country, they're going into this tentatively optimistic and thinking, well, it can't get any worse than it did before.
Yeah. I mean, he was a lobbyist, essentially.
Yeah.
I mean, he was in government relations. He was a lobbyist and ends up being the head of the CRTC.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, that's... I mean, there's no legal conflict there, but there's a conflict.
Yes, we've got 5 years to see what happens, because they've... Yeah. Both of them have got five-year terms starting in September.
Well... No, we assume we have 5 years, unless there's a resignation somewhere within the next year, and then who the hell knows?
No, right? That's true. Has that ever happened?
I don't know.
I've never heard of a CRTC head resigning.
Was JP Blatt, was he there for the full 5 years?
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah.
I didn't think he was there for that long, but I could be wrong. I seem to remember that that you had the Von Finkenstein, Lenny Katz transition happen less than 5 years ago.
It was less than 5 years?
I could be wrong.
Oh, maybe it was only a three-year term and they extended it to five. I should do some homework. Maybe.
Nah, let's not.
Okay.
Let's not and say we did.
Let's let other people
do that.
So
there you go. There's your new name. So now just to recap, it was Von Finkenstein, the interim Lenny Katz. Are you you're taping this? You're getting this down?
Yeah, I'm taping this in, yeah.
Okay, that's good. Then we had J.P. Blais.
Yeah.
And I even forget who our little interim one, the interim was. It was a woman who we just had there for like 3 weeks. I forget what her name was, who'd been sitting in there for 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I forget. I can't remember her name either.
She wasn't there. She wasn't there long enough to necessarily have the austerity of Lenny Katz, or who we like to call Smelly Katz, by the way. And now we have Ian Scott. So there you go.
Yeah, and you know what I was actually Googling was Ian Scott, thinking that was the guitarist for Anthrax, but no, that's Scott Ian. I had
yes,
those
indeed.
Two up, yes.
Do you think Ian Scott's nickname as a kid was Great?
Probably.
Yeah, Great Scott.
Once he starts making some decisions, you can look for John Doyle to be using a headline that uses Great Scott in it.
Yes, exactly.
Not so Great Scott.
Exactly. Scott Free.
Oh, it's so good.
Folks, that wraps up everything we have. Hey, we stretched it out to half an hour for you. We did everything we could to get you at least a half hour episode this week, because that's how much we care for you, the home listener.
Exactly.
Greg, why don't you tell people where they can find you when we're not here talking Canadian television every couple weeks?
You can find me running the website tva.com, tv-eh.com, which spotlights and celebrates the Canadian television industry. You can follow me on Twitter at tv_eh.com. There are also links to all the other social media, like your YouTube, your Instagram, your Facebook. You can go there and click on the links on the homepage and follow us there. And also, a heads up, probably the next time that we talk or record, depending on what happens and if there's any breaking news, I'm also working on gathering up the items for the annual Kids Help Phone charity auction.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm... filling up a room with items, and there should be some more coming this week. So I've got some signed scripts. I've got some clothing, branded clothing that looks really cool. Got some other surprises on the way, and looking to have the charity auction up probably around the middle of August.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Where can we find you?
Find all the podcasts that I do at anthonymarco.com. Find me on Twitter at anthonymarco, and find all the past episodes of this podcast at tv-eh.com. And if you click on the top, you'll see podcasts, and you can scroll down all the way through them if you want to. And I would say, you know, not necessarily a lot of the news ones that we do are evergreen, but some of the interview ones that we do are a bit more evergreen. So you could go back and listen to some of those if you wanted to. And By all means, if you want to support the podcast, you can go to our Patreon page at Patreon, patreon.com/TV_EH. It feels like, you know, we get together in the summer, Greg, and there's not a lot to talk about, but that's okay. It's kind of a more laid back, kind of a sitting on the patio kind of episode.
Yeah, and there's no pressure. There's no pressure to perform. We're just giving the people the news. Like I said, they can make bullet point notes. And
yes.
Because when we roll around into August and September, it's going to get really busy and dense with a lot of information. So
this is a good time for you folks if you want to practice your mind map drawings of the episode. You can do it on an episode like this, so mm-hmm. that when the dense stuff comes, you'll have all your arrows in place and all stuff like that.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway, that wraps up another episode for this week. And now back to your regularly scheduled programming.